But I have to tell you, the only time I ever saw
and took the nails for me.
This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from a vision.
A vision to support our brother and sister Christians.
And those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus.
And his people.
And he wants us to strengthen his disciples.
To get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Welcome to another edition, program, episode, show, whatever, of
Glorious Day.
Yes.
And we're here tonight. I am Father Barry. I'm Pastor Barry.
Pastor Barry.
And this is Pastor David over there. Say hi, David.
Hey. Hello, everybody.
This is the final in a three series of three things the devil wants to steal from you. This is part three, and he wants to steal your joy, David.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
He wants to steal all of your joy out there. And we have some scriptures that we want to discuss. And we've been sharing John 10:10 with each program to start off with, and then we're going to have a reading from 1 Thessalonians. In John 10:10, we hear, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Amen to that.
Amen.
And here we have 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. "Because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord. For you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia." The word of the Lord.
Oh, thanks be to God for sure. And that's, you know, your joy. They were able to exhibit the joy of the Spirit.
Right.
Not their own personal brain chemistry joy. Because that doesn't last, and it's even when you're having it, it's, you know, it's really hard to bless other people with your own personal joy.
If you don't possess joy, if you don't possess peace, if you don't possess hope, you can't share it with others. Just to pull the curtain back on you, David. David was a chaplain in hospice for several years.
Yeah, almost 6.5.
Yeah, and I'm a chaplain right now in the nursing home world, and these people that we would visit, particularly David, in the world of hospice, these people were starving for joy and for hope and peace. And it really is a challenge for the spiritual caregiver to recharge every morning, and you can't do it on your own.
Yeah, no.
You know, you've got to go into prayer before you leave the house. You got to go into prayer when you get to your buildings, and you've got to be in prayer before you knock on that door and go in the room.
Exactly.
Because the Lord, in that situation, needs to refill you with each person that you meet.
Yes.
Because we're only human. We're weak and fragile. And we come across situations that are so incredibly sad or depressing or in some cases appear to be hopeless.
Yeah.
And it's so easy if you're drained and you're not prepared and you're not prayerful to get caught up in that yourself.
Exactly.
I only share that because in the scripture today, it's telling us that you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, the joy of the Holy Spirit. You could, if you're driving, don't touch anything and don't get an accident, but just, you can chant that for the next 3 miles, joy of the Holy Spirit. I want that to sink in because he's very active in you. If he's living inside of you. That's why new Christians are such a pain to be around, because they float 3 feet in the air.
Yeah.
They're so full of joy, it's leaking out everywhere. And it's a neat thing to behold.
It's cool, but you know, I also have to say that in some environments, in some churches, they tolerate that for a while. But there are some people that are wrapped too tight.
Uh-huh.
Okay, in the church. You know what I'm saying? You know, all right, so enough of that joy. Enough of this, you know, overflowing excitement.
And in our church, we don't hold our hand up when we pray. You got to keep your hands down because, well, that's unnerving. You know, stop smiling so much.
Yes, some people. What's interesting is they really don't like the emotional part of what they call religion. You know, and I don't like religion to begin with. I like spirituality.
Me too.
And the difference is that, you know, I really don't think that the joy of the Spirit finds a really good home in religion, because religion is all about order. It's all about doing things in the right way, mm-hmm. you know, and it's not really about what the Church of Jesus Christ, the church that he established, how he expects his body to function as the church in the world, because let's be right and direct. You know, Jesus, if you read the scriptures, I mean, he was real. He was out there. People gathered and followed him. And part of the reason they followed him, because yes, he was God, and they may not have known that, but they sensed his authority. But Jesus was also, it was in him they saw divine joy. They saw a lot of other things. They saw his peace. We're talking about peace mm-hmm. and hope and joy. And Jesus mediated all of that. He presented all of that mm-hmm. to the world around him, to the people that would listen to him. A lot of them really got excited about that. Some of them got upset. The religious people got upset. And they're the ones that ended up, you know, making sure he got on a cross because of that.
The religious people weren't interested in being spiritually fed.
No.
But the flocks of 3,000, 5,000 people following him were spiritually hungry and starving because they weren't being fed in their religion.
No.
And so thus, here's a guy that's going to feed us. We walk away from him and we're 3 feet off the ground and we got to go back to the village and tell everybody we know, everybody we love, you've got to listen to this guy.
Yeah.
We found the Messiah. We found hope. We found peace. And, you know, you mentioned churches being too religious. And several weeks back, we interviewed these three young men that are out and about changing parts of the world that they live in, bringing people to Christ, baptizing people. They took the commandment of Christ seriously when he said, go forth to all nations, and bringing this gospel and baptizing all in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And if you were to meet these guys in person, you'd want to follow them out the door. Do they have a brick-and-mortar church that they're preaching from a pulpit from? No, these guys are out in the streets bringing it to people who are starving to death.
Amen.
Who are starving for hope.
And the other cool thing, like in the early church, is they have a congregation, the body of Christ, they can go back to and bring their stories of their successes and failures. They can be counseled and discipled by older, more mature people,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is what the church should be doing. So
that's the church.
That's
right there.
The church. You know, that's the essential church. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we have, and I'm saying, you know, not to be judgmental, and I'm not encouraging you, our listeners, to be judgmental either. But we have to say that the church should not be joyless. And yet, I know of many people, or I've throughout my journey with Christ, you know, that in their church environment, you know, that it is certainly all religious. You know, it's locked down, you know, it's tight, you know, it's everything is ordered. Nothing wrong with order particularly, but, you know, it's so ordered, though, that in worship, where the joy of the Spirit should be moving, and the leaders should be open to the movement of God, you know, that gets squelched. It's not encouraged. It's discouraged.
One of the funniest things that I experienced as a teenager was going to church with my family. We had one particular pastor who somewhere along the line lost his smile. And he spoke, if he was speaking to three people, it's like he was announcing to a crowd in a stadium. Mm. It was one of the funniest things I think I've ever seen. Kind of full of himself, you know.
Yeah.
But he used to preach on joy, but it sounded like he was yelling at you and was going to hit you with a stick.
That's not very joyful.
It kind of went like this, today I bring you the joy of the Lord. And then he would stare you down thinking, well, that joy sounds scary to me.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I want that. But, you know, the messenger is the message, and that's what it's all about. You know, these young people just impress me so much because they're following through, keeping things simple, and they can reach people in their age group that you and I can't.
Absolutely.
They can run up to a 22-year-old fellow, you know, kid, I call them kids, and they know what they're being hit with on social media and everything else, and they know what they're going through, and they address that. And there's no wishy-washy business about it. They call each other out on their stuff.
They do. And it's going to the joyless with the joy of Christ,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that because if they're joyless, that means, you know, they're being oppressed by the darkness around them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, most of them don't know Jesus, so they don't have that relationship with him and the uplifting of the Spirit and all that. And that's actually where we're really supposed to be going,
right.
is to the people who are burdened by the flesh. What is it? The world of flesh and the devil. You know, all those darkness things.
You got to feed a sheep. Feed my sheep.
We're a sheep. We're starving. We're hungry, and we need. And you know, we need to be joyful,
mm-hmm.
especially when we are surrounded, you know, by frustration and fear. We need to be joyful, and it has to come from God. And when it comes, I have, like, for instance, I have joy in, okay, let me move on. In the first program, I talked about how all this got started,
mm-hmm,
how right. God gave me the idea for doing a series of three programs on what the devil wants to steal from you, peace,
right.
joy, or peace, hope, and joy. And so we're now into the third part. But I want to share, this is a witness, this is God, I want to give him the glory. But just to remind you that all this started when I got out of bed and fell and broke my hand. Broke a part of my hand, not the whole hand, thank God.
Yeah.
But so the aftermath of that was having it x-rayed, finding a broken bone. If you're mm-hmm. if you're an ortho guy, it's the fourth metatarsal of the left hand.
There you go.
So you know what that's all about. It was a diagonal fracture. A splint has not helped it, so now I have to have surgery. And then knowing that, there's a whole different process you have to go through once the surgery, the day's been scheduled, because you have to be medically examined to see if you're even up for the surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went through that. I mean, that was a whole day, you know. I saw several doctors that day. But then they found two things that were concern to them. One was they did an EKG, didn't like it. They also didn't like something, so they had to do a chest x-ray.
Okay.
Visually. So I'd already had the hand broken. I know it was broken. There was a certain amount of pain when I manipulated in certain angles. I was already facing, then having to have surgery and all that you go through with that.
Oh, yeah.
And the heaviness of the devil. I'm blaming him because he loves to bring heaviness, pain, suffering, and especially he loves to bring people to the brink of despair. Okay. And so it was, you know, I was okay with the surgery, but then, well, we see something wrong with your heart, right? So the devil begins saying, oh my gosh, your heart, you're 71 years old. I mean, the thing could blow up on you at any minute. And then, you know, the chest x-ray, well, what did they see? You know, as they mentioned COPD.
And then you have all this going through. You're trying to sleep at night. Second-guessing everything.
Well, at the end of all that, and I was very tired, and I went home. And my wife, lovely wife, she was there to just let me process and, you know, encouraging me. But I knew that the Lord, what I knew was this. The enemy was taking everything that was going on in my life, and he was trying to get me to have no peace, no hope, mm-hmm. and no joy. Okay.
Right.
And I wasn't going to let that happen. God wasn't going to let that happen. So my prayer that night, now this was that was Friday night,
mm-hmm.
when I had all that stuff going on. And the questions of what the EKG meant and what the chest x-ray meant, well, they hung in the air for the weekend. Now, in years past, you know, I would have bit my nails down to my knuckles then. And that would have created a whole other problem for the ortho guy. But these are not those days. This is, really, the Lord has done a great work in me. I give him the glory. It's his grace. So that I really have not been been devastated by any of this.
Mm-hmm.
I've not let the darkness swirl around, you know, in my life. I've let the light of Christ. But today, the last link in the chain so I could have this surgery, which is going to happen when, mm-hmm. in this time, real time, on Wednesday. By the time you hear this, it will have been 3 weeks after the surgery. But I was driving to the cardiologist so that they could write, you know, do their own thing, mm-hmm. and check me out. And so, but I'm at a stoplight, and I'm just thinking about all this stuff, and I start laughing.
Really? In traffic?
I'm at the light, you know? And it's all this stuff that's going on. I'm going through every piece of it. I just start laughing. And what I said was, I said, Lord, I just thank you for this incredible adventure. Mm-hmm. You know, and it is. It's a journey. It's an adventure. And I wasn't burdened. In fact, when I said that, I was even more uplifted. Because what then I was experiencing and what I was celebrating and giving God the glory for is those three things. His peace. You know, I knew that everything was going to be all right, that he had it. I had to go through, I had to do things, you know, and then answers would emerge from the things I was doing, but I knew he had it. I had peace. I had hope. You know, I had hope that none of this stuff that caused problems or concerns was an issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and God had it.
Right.
He had it from beginning to end. And then the joy is, and particularly what this came from, as I remembered all the medical people that I've encountered since I broke my hand. I have had opportunities to make them laugh. You mm-hmm. talk about stand-up, which
oh, yeah.
you love to do. And I just love to make people laugh if I can.
And he's good at it.
I found things that, you know, some of them were being, and I appreciate their professionalism, and I told them this, you know. But there were some things I said, and they would, you know, you could see that couple, the eyes blink a couple of times,
yeah,
and they chuckle.
It.
Yeah. You know, and I'd say, it's okay, you can laugh, you know. But, you know, it was just, I was having, and I seriously, because of God, mm-hmm. okay, I was having so much fun. And it's not over.
No. And, you know, you may be put in a position during this whole process to bring someone to Christ
yeah.
that you don't know right now,
yeah,
right. but you will know after this.
Yeah,
and sometimes, you know, the Lord has a big, complicated plan to get you to that person.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got the 30,000-foot view like an airliner, and we can't see over the horizon.
No, I think that's certainly true. God did not push me
mm-hmm.
so that I fell. He saw it coming, and he let it happen. And even though I think that he mediated the fall so that it was could have been more devastating than it was. But yes, I believe that all of this will bless somebody, maybe a series of somebodies, I have no idea.
Don't know.
But that, you know, that too excites my joy.
Amen. You know, we have a woman at work who is a certified clown. That sounds funny, but she is, and she went to school with Patch Adams, Dr. Patch Adams.
Mm-hmm.
And she has a lot of stories about that, but I like to watch her at work because once a week they have something called clown rounds.
Mm.
And they have a list because, not to get too complicated, but there's a depression scale that they do on the older folks. So she has her rounds to the most depressed in the building.
When I stand on the scale, I get depressed sometimes. So maybe I understand.
Yeah, so,
right. So that's not what you're talking about.
She wears a lab coat. She's got a funny name. She's dressed up as a doctor with a clown nose on and a big wig. And she has 1,000 different corny jokes that come out of her pockets. But what I've seen over a period of weeks is the return of joy.
Mm.
That people, when they have no joy and hope and peace, they crawl into the shell and they tend to just give up, dry up, and blow away. They won't eat anymore. They refuse their medications, won't take any rehab services. They won't engage with anybody. They'll just sit there and stare at you. But having this laughter going and bringing joy back into their life, some of them, the first time they laughed, they cried, David, because it was right under the surface. It was there. And they didn't want to. They didn't trust themselves to laugh because they would cry, and that's turning on their emotional switch, which had been dormant.
Yeah.
She said that Patch Adams also was talking about clown ministry. Now, I don't know what his spiritual situation is. I probably never will, but she's trying to incorporate ministry into this now. What she's done for me is she opens the door for me, because now they'll receive and give information.
Yeah.
Once they become acclimated to speaking again and opening up. And I tell you, folks, joy is healthy. Laughter is healthy. You don't go through, like, we weren't meant to walk around dragging our knuckles on the floor and our jaw on the floor and looking sad. I always imagine that Jesus was a very charismatic person, and that he had a way of drawing people in. The crowds didn't leave him angry. They were full of hope and joy.
Yeah,
they didn't want him to go.
Yeah.
So that tells me, just like the rest of us, he was fully human, fully God, that he might have had a sense of humor. We know that he was spiritually sensitive. He knew what people needed.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he's Jesus. But here we go. All of you out there, it's good to know your Bible. It's good to know your religion. But never let anyone, particularly the devil, steal your joy.
Yes. And he will, if you let him.
Yes. You know, I had an aunt, Gloria, my favorite aunt. I had three maiden aunts, and she was the short, wide, giggly one that made us laugh all the time. Wonderful Aunt Gloria. I miss her. And when she was in her 20s, she went up to upstate New York, and she joined a convent. She was going to become a nun.
Ah.
She was gone for 2 years. I miss my Auntie Gloria. Yeah. And one day I got a call from my other aunts that she's back. Okay, she wasn't supposed to be back, so we all went over to their house. And she was in regular clothes, and I said, Auntie Gloria, what happened? And she smiled, and she said, they really tried to take away my giggles and my smile. She said, that's how I feel about the Lord, is I smile and giggle when I think about him, and they don't.
Wow.
And so they were so austere with her that it caused depression.
Wow.
And the whole reason that she went there is she wanted to know the Lord even more so she could laugh even more, and they took it away from her. But she was okay after that.
Yeah. You know,
she would pray for them that they would find their way back to joy and peace.
That's not an isolated incident when you think of... I mean, most of our listeners probably have one memory, at least one memory of encountering a Christian that... Some, I forget who it was that I first heard this, although some maybe have heard other people use the metaphor, but Christians look like they've been sucking on a lemon.
Yes.
You know, that, you know, and folks, this is, if you have Jesus in your heart, you can't be a lemon sucker. You know, you can't have a face that looks that way, you know, because it's just, you know, yeah, we all struggle. We all go through periods of suffering, whatever's relevant to us in that regard, but... You know, at the end of the day, you know, we serve a God who is a big God, and he loves joy. He makes joy. He is perfect joy. And that's going to have giggles, and that's going to have laughs, and that's going to have a life that's full of kind of that incredible spontaneity.
Oh, yeah.
Comes from the Spirit. God wants us out there in the streets, in the... You know, on the highways and byways, well, wherever he's going to send you, inside businesses, wherever you work, wherever you shop, you know, wherever you're going to find yourself, that he really wants people to know that he is truly a God of joy and peace and hope and all those things he wants to give us in great measure, because God is a God of abundance too.
Amen. You know, I was a kid growing up in Fort Lauderdale. I come from a family of five kids, and our neighbors had five kids, and we were close. We might as well say there were 10 kids in our family, because we were very close. And this one girl in the family, I could always make her laugh, David, to the point where she had to run to the bathroom. I never understood that. But later in life, she had a terrible cancer, and she was on hospice. And I was sitting in her room with her family and my family. And it was time. It was time, David. But she motioned with her hand, and she whispered in my ear, make me laugh. Now, she's she was a believer, a very close daughter of God. She was wonderful. And I looked at her and said, oh, you're going to put all this on me now. Now I have to have the responsibility of making me work. And so I told her a funny story. It was kind of funny, I guess. It was about our childhood. She laughed hysterically loud. I didn't think she had that energy left. And about 2 minutes later, she passed.
Oh, my goodness.
With a smile on her face.
Wow, that's so cool.
She had that joy, but it wasn't me. You know, God always, she was a very joyful person.
Yeah.
Another giggler. Love gigglers.
Well, I have one quick hospice story
yes, sir.
That I experienced, and then we'll have to say goodbye. But I had a patient that was, he had me in a hospice house, and so I was going to visit him for the very first time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was meeting with his family prior to that to get to know him a little bit better through them, you know, and kind of learn about his experience. And they kind of told me, one of the things they told me was that, you know, he was a guy, he really enjoyed life, he loved to laugh, but with his illness and his dying and all that, that he'd kind of lost that. So with that in mind, I went into there, sat down, and I said, hi, I'm David, and I'm your chaplain, and, you know, I've just come to, you know, it's my first visit, and I want to get to know you. And so he said a few things, and I said a few things, and I said, your family says you used to like to laugh. And he said, yeah, I said, it's really hard now facing, you know, the end of life. I said, well, I understand that. I have a lot of patients that are like that. And I said, I'll tell you a story of one other guy that I met recently, and I got him to laugh. And he said, you got him to laugh? I said, yeah. I was talking about my face. He said, you see, I got a beard, I got a mustache, and a goatee. And the other patient now said, why you got that? Why did you grow that? Because he was clean shaven. I said, well, I said, you know, in these days, you never know if you're going to need, you know, an armpit transplant. And the guy just cracked up. And so I told him that story and he cracked up. And then then the next thing is he's telling me a story and we're trading stories for the whole visit. And I left him laughing. But that was God's grace.
Amen.
And, you know, he actually, in a couple of days later, he died.
Uh-huh.
But what his family told me was that, you know, because he died before I could get back to see him again, but that he died with a smile on his face. Now, mm-hmm. folks, that's God. I give him the glory. But it's a true story about joy, and it says a lot for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
You, the listener, need to be a vehicle, an instrument, a conduit, if you will,
Amen.
Of the joy
yep.
of the Lord. And I pray that you'll do that. Unfortunately, our time is up, and we're going to have to say goodbye until next week.
Well, goodbye, David. And folks, let's all pray for David. Keep him in your prayers. Get that finger fixed. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. God bless.
Hey. Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word.
That we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified.
And receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move.
And His perfect plan is unfolding in our time.
There is no one.